My name is David Malbranch. I'm an assistant professor at Emory University in Atlanta, Georgia, in the Division of Medicine. I'm going to be talking to you today about going beyond sexual labels, looking at exploring the social context of sexual health and HIV prevention among black men in Georgia. I have nothing to disclose. The study team, this is a study that was funded by the National Institute of Nursing Research, and it's a collaborative effort between Drexel University, the CDC Morehouse School of Medicine, and actually University of North Carolina for our phase two. But for today's presentation, I'm just going to be going over phase one results. And I have three wonderful members of my team sitting over here, Bernard, Alana, and Brandy, who made this study possible. In terms of background, black men in the Southeast have the highest HIV rates in the United States, regardless of sexual orientation. Exactly how social context, mental health, and coping influence sexual behavior among black men has been severely understudied. And most of the studies tend to focus on black men who have sex with men in major metropolitan areas. So left out of the equation are men who are not homosexually active or men who are in more rural areas as opposed to urban areas. So our project is called Project Adolfo. Adolfo is a Ghanaian boy's name, meaning one who loves or a courageous warrior. And this is a picture of the slide that we used to recruit. We use the term the Georgia Black Men's Health Project because in my history doing research for the past 9 years, if you put HIV or AIDS on the front, black men tend to run in the other direction because they think it's going to be associated with homosexuality. I'd like to dedicate this presentation and the whole study to Dr. Robert Scott, who unfortunately passed last year, and he is the reason why I'm up here today. One of the most courageous warriors I've ever met, who did amazing work in the Bay Area as well as Zimbabwe, and he is sorely missed. The objectives for this study are threefold. One, to describe the social context of black men's lives residing in metropolitan and non-metropolitan areas in Georgia. Two, to explore the structural influences on mental health and coping strategies among these men. And then three, to identify how mental health and other factors influence their condom use practices. The methods that we used for this phase were semi-structured qualitative interviews. We interviewed 90 black men in Georgia, 30 in each of these three settings, Atlanta, Columbus, and Valdosta. I'll explain why we chose those three settings in a second. We used community sites, internet websites, Grady Hospital, our county hospital in Atlanta, Georgia, and snowball sampling, which was probably the best way that we were able to recruit the men. The inclusion criteria, you had to be a black male between the age of 18 to 65, identify as black, and report being HIV negative or of unknown status. We gave each participant $50 compensation, and the two theories and conceptual frameworks that we used to develop the study were John Henryism and Cool Pose, which I will also explain. So HIV epidemiology in Georgia, and this slide will just basically show you, when you look in the highlighted yellows areas here, you see Atlanta, Columbus, and Valdosta. Each have high populations of black folks in each of these cities. And you actually look at the population, if you break it down to metropolitan statistical areas, Atlanta is over 500,000 in the metropolitan area itself. Columbus is 186,000, and Valdosta was 48,000. That was up through 2007. And so you're having representatives from three different metropolitan statistical areas, yet you see the HIV crude rates are off the chain for Atlanta, and then also very high for both Columbus and Valdosta. But the thought has to be, with Valdosta being on the southern tip of Georgia and on the northern tip of Florida and Columbus in the middle of the state, the social context in which these men live cannot be quite similar. So to just lump it together, interview brothers in Atlanta, and then say that that's reflective of the whole state is a gross error. The story of John Henry I have to tell in a quick moment if you know the myth or the history. John Henry was a gentleman who was very, very strong, the story goes. And in the late 1800s, early 1900s, was part of a team that was working to develop railroads in the development of America and the travel system. So what happened was that they started to develop the steam engine, and the steam engine came along and decided that that was going to be it, and so all the guys started to get out of work. So John Henry said, well, look, forget this. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to challenge the steam engine to a race, and we're going to see who can get through the mountain and tunnel a hole so we can drive a railroad track through sooner. So John Henry took two mallets in his hand and went through the mountain, fought with the steam engine, and made it through first. So he beat the steam engine, but unfortunately, when he got to the other side, his heart exploded, and he collapsed and died. So it's not really a good story, obviously. But it was used as the premise by Sherman James, who's a Duke University professor, to develop a scale called John Henryism. And what it is, it describes a strong disposition to engage in effortful, active coping in response to psychosocial stressors. It's a validated 12-item scale, and higher scores mean that you're more, when the going gets tough, the tough gets going, is probably the simplest way to put it. But higher scores actually predict higher rates of hypertension, particularly among lower socioeconomic status black men. But it hasn't been used to predict anything with HIV. And on the other side, you look at cool pose, which is a theory based by Majors and Bilson in 1992. It defines a ritualized form of masculinity, which in response to structural and institutional pressures of racism and other forms of discrimination and class discrimination, black men made response to this racism by holding on to the one thing that we can control that asserts our manhood, which is basically what lies between our legs and our sexual prowess. So it can be defined according to this theory by encouraging multiple sexual partners and poor condom use practices, because in order to father children, you're not using condoms, and then children can be used as kind of an indicator of your masculinity. So this is a conceptual framework for HIV protective and promoting behavior among black men that we used for the study. I'll go over this just quickly. And for those of you that are thinking there are probably lots more boxes and arrows that go in this, you're right. So this is a more simplistic model. So I realize that it's reductionist. So if you look on the left side here with social factors like racism experiences, socioeconomic status, and demographic factors like where you live and your age, these can influence mental health determinants, such as how much stress you're going under, whether you're depressed or not, and how much pressure you feel to live up to manhood expectations. If you follow the red areas here, these kind of levels of mental health determinants can either encourage you to engage in risky, risk-protective behavior, like consistent condom use, recent HIV testing, or risk-promoting behavior, having unprotected anal or vaginal sex and having multiple sexual partners. Where John Henryism comes in is somewhere in the risk-promoting or protective behavior, where you say that John Henryism, in response to these stresses, somehow you say to yourself, well, listen, I'm going to actually protect myself more in response to these stressors, whereas cool pose would be a reactionary, somewhat self-destructive response to stressors in your life and social conditions, and it may encourage you to actually engage in more risky behavior. Descriptive findings, I'm not actually going to focus too much on this because it's a very busy slide, but what I do want to let you know is that with regards to sexual orientation, this was a study of 90 qualitative men, and about 90% were identified as heterosexual, and about 10% were homosexually active, either exclusive homosexual or bisexual. So looking at the results for the early major themes, these were the major ones: fatherlessness, trauma, violence, police, racism, incarceration, joblessness, financial stress, and also stress according to black manhood, stress or expectations. And then actually the men described a lot of good experiences with healthcare. So going over the trauma of violence, incarceration, and what we call racial microaggressions, these are some of the quotes from the men that they gave us. There have been times when I've been living in neighborhoods where you've got to wonder when the next drive-by is coming or who's going to be the next person to be killed or shot. And this kind of community violence was common among a lot of the men, regardless of the city. Another gentleman said, so easy to get in there, meaning prison, so hard to get out. It's like once they have you in the system, they try to keep you there. Again, the cycle of incarceration, how traumatic that can be. They, meaning police officers, see me as a young black male, and they just label me before they even get to know me. And the whole notion of incarceration and racial profiling came up time and time again in all three of the areas. And then this last one actually talks about the judicial system in general. And this gentleman said, you see the judge up here, he wearing all black. The prosecutor, he wearing all black too. Wow. And this guy here, he's supposed to be my attorney, he got on all black. Y'all fitting to go to a funeral. And while you could laugh at that, it's actually kind of a sad reflection that he notices that the cycle is going on with that, because it almost is like he's going to a funeral with the cycle that you can put this man on. For black manhood and stress expectations, we asked the guys what they felt was expected of them as a man. Being a rock, being financially stable was mentioned a lot. Going out, making a living, and providing was also mentioned a lot. And then what we called the Obama effect. So a lot of the guys said, like, this quote was pretty typical: if this man Obama can be president, then I can go ahead and get me a job, I can get myself together. So it was a kind of a facilitator, like, I don't have any excuses anymore, Obama can be president, so I need to step up my game. I'm not going to go through these quotes because the structural stress of joblessness is something which is self-explanatory, particularly in these times of recession, but just know that regardless of the metropolitan statistical area that we interviewed these guys in, they voiced a lot of stress because of not being able to have jobs. Coping with stress and depression, we asked the guys, what things did you do, or how do you react, or who do you turn to when you get stressed or depressed? These were some of the quotes we got. Sometimes I do seem to do a lot, and that is cry. I'm like a cocoon kind of person. I kind of hold myself up in my apartment and watch movies, read, and just kind of have quiet time to sort through stuff. One gentleman said, I drink, just drink and party. That's about it. I'm a real loner. Another gentleman said, who do I turn to for support? Well, number one is the Lord Jesus Christ, and two is family. That's the way I do it. And then another gentleman said, being angry and stuffing things with food and just stuffing my emotions and pretending everything is all right. Now, if you look at that list, you can see it's either avoidance or social support, you turn to people, or it's positive, such as religion or spirituality. But it seemed to fall under those three categories, regardless of whether it was stress or depression. The guys didn't make a difference between the two. How much time do I got left? 2 minutes. Facilitators of condom use. We didn't want to ask the guys about barriers. We wanted to ask them, what makes you use condoms consistently with your sexual partners, regardless of whether they're male or female? So as one brother said to us, if I don't know the person, don't want to make no more babies, don't want to catch nothing, I'm going to use condoms. So it was a theory of don'ts. Another gentleman said, the drive to stay alive. I believe in the black community, in the black gay community in particular, it's certain that you'll end up dating someone who has HIV/AIDS. So he used condoms because he realized how prevalent HIV was, particularly in the black gay community, so he was always going to protect himself. Another gentleman said, back then I used to use them, meaning condoms, because I didn't know what type of girl they was. But see, the girl I got now, she's a good girl, so I don't worry about it. So again, you can actually look at the risk perception. You see somebody, she's a good girl, he's a good guy. I don't have to worry about using condoms. And it's kind of this, it doesn't have a p-value, it doesn't have a confidence interval, but it's still something that someone's going to use to assess whether someone's going to be risky or not. Then someone actually said, and this came up an awful lot, when I'm depressed, I usually don't have sex. We thought, and in the literature, you're always taught that when people are more depressed or they're more stressed, they're less likely to use condoms. They throw education out the window. These guys actually said, when I'm stressed or depressed, I don't want to have sex at all. Don't bother me. So it's a very interesting thing. And in phase two, we're going to see if that actually comes across and is statistically significant. So conclusions, common social context may be traumatic for these men that we interviewed. The absence of biological fathers was common. I didn't get a chance to mention that, but it was mentioned by at least 90% of these guys in the study. Financial, familial, and gender role pressures influence stress and depression in their lives. Coping strategies embody the three themes that I told you about: social support, avoidance, and constructive behaviors. Condom use was influenced by the relationship type, perception of risk, and fear of HIV, sexually transmitted infections, and/or pregnancy. And then finally, stress and depression really did not or was not described by these men as an influence on condom use. Limitations, obviously, convenience sampling, not generalizable, so on and so forth. Future directions, we're going to continue to analyze this 90 male subsample and actually do analysis between the cities to compare. This was more of a general analysis. We're going to actually compare Columbus versus Valdosta versus Atlanta. We're going to be disseminating the findings to the communities that we did the interviews in. We have to do quantitative testing. We just got the survey completed, and we're going to do random digit dialing with about 1,200 men, 600 in Atlanta, 300 Valdosta, 300 in Columbus. And then we're actually going to be writing a R01 intervention next spring, piloting of a black men's health intervention that looks and focuses on social and structural life skills and training, manhood, fathering, and mentoring initiatives. And then finally, at the end, I just keep saying this over and over again, mental health and coping, mental health and coping, mental health and coping. It's the biggest thing that we ignore in the lives of black men, and it's the biggest thing that came up in our findings. I just want to acknowledge the men who allowed us to interview them, Columbus Wellness Center and Luella Rhodes, Valdosta Department of Health, the Boys Salon Barbershop, who we bum-rushed to recruit some of the men in Columbus, Addiction Transcription Services, and our Community Advisory Board. Thank you very much, and sorry about the kids.